Hello, everybody. Welcome to American Pale Males. It's your nerdy beer tasting podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Michael, and with me is the other host.
The froggy Jeremy. Michael, how in the world are you?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. I'm hot off the heels of a pub trivia victory, which will come up in a little bit here.
Like hot off as in earlier tonight?
No, it was actually last week.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, the heels are still cooling.
Yeah, right,
it's,
yeah.
It's that hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I, on the other hand, have been busy yelling at sporting events.
Oh, hence the frogginess? Is that?
Well, I mean, there's that. There's lifting weights. There's cracking on nerds. You know how it goes. only some of that is true. But yeah, to just segue quickly into the beer brags.
Oh, okay, go for it.
My future father-in-law had gotten some tickets to this past week's football game from a friend of his, so I went because, you know, it was preposterously cold out this weekend. Second coldest game on record in the stadium.
Wow.
Here. Yeah. So I went with the future father-in-law to Council of the Show's tailgate, and there he gave me... He does a pretty good job. He is able to cater to all needs. He's a good tailgate host, but I got the Uptown IPA from Fire Trucker Brewing in Ankeny. Mm-hmm. I believe we've had something. I think they're red. I'm not sure what we had, but we've had something by them.
Yeah, it might have been their brown.
Burnout Brown. You're right.
Yes, yeah.
The Uptown IPA is an American IPA that has all the flavor and smooth drinkability you seek. While hoppy enough for any IPA connoisseur, our version is more citrusy than bitter. Mandarin orange flavors stand out and grapefruit lingers on the finish. Find a shady spot and enjoy. I suppose a garage is a shady spot. The Council of the Show was not a fan of this one, but I was. It was light, it was crushable, it was a good tailgate IPA. Not too bitter, didn't murder your tongue. Was still able to have ground beef at one point. But it's good stuff. What about you, Michael?
Well, said pub trivia victory was, I think, the most decisive, definitive victory to date. Not only did the team, American Pale Males podcast, take first place.
I have problems with this, Michael. I'm not there.
For me, using our branded name.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we have merchandise, sir.
Exclusively held by you and me.
Correct. It still counts.
Can't sully the name. No, I'm drumming up advertising and support.
Uh-huh.
So we took first place, but in between rounds, there's also these like bonus questions where you can win a beer.
Ooh.
And there's five of those questions. We also got 4 out of 5 of those free beers.
Well done.
Every team probably hated us.
Well, I having taken second place in the year or the quarterly tournament, I understand what it's like to be hated by your peers. So what beers did you get?
Yeah. Here are the beers that I had. And I focused on beers that I've had in the past to try them again rather than just try new stuff. Avery White Rascal.
On the show.
Has been
featured
on the show. Yep.
I remember it well. It's a good beer.
Really good beer, yeah. Boulder Shake Chocolate Porter.
Okay. Also on the show, but I think
very
that was
solid.
Before me.
Before you, yes. One Barrel Commuter Kolsch, which is...
Not on the show.
Not on the show yet, but a very good Kolsch out of One Barrel in Madison, Wisconsin. It's interesting. I've had it before in bottles, and it's pretty good, but on tap, it was almost fruity. Like,
interesting.
It had fruity notes to it. So, it was even better.
Good.
And then I just had a sip of this one, but still good. Cider Boys Grand Mimosa. So,
okay.
A cider made with apples and oranges, and it did taste like a mimosa.
Mm-hmm. Cider Boys are the ones who do the mashup ciders, right?
Oh, maybe.
They like, have the split labels on them.
I don't know that much about them.
I feel like that's true. Write in. Tell us.
So, those were the four beers.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jeremy, I want to pose to you the questions that I answered to get these beers.
Oh.
Now, the challenge in the trivia setting is... Each team sends up a representative, and whoever can jot down the answer the fastest...
Oh, it's one
even,
of these. Okay.
Yeah, mid-question, and shows the answer. If they're correct, they win the beer.
Is this a Geeks Who Drink?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Obviously, we can't do that here, and obviously, I'm probably going to butcher the questions a little bit, so this won't be scientific, but I think you'll do pretty well at this, Jeremy.
Hit me.
Okay. What is the B-side to Queen's We Are the Champions?
We Will Rock You.
That's correct. Though it doesn't contain sturgeon eggs, this salad of black-eyed peas pickled in a vinaigrette-style dressing is known as Texas what?
Caviar.
That is correct.
I've actually heard of that before. I've threatened myself to make it because I have some leftover black-eyed peas that I want to use up.
I don't think I've had it, but I knew it from the sturgeon egg thing.
Indeed.
Next question. Debuting in 1985, this was a comic done by American cartoonist Bill Watterson.
Calvin and Hobbes.
That is correct.
I was a big Calvin and Hobbes fan. Still am. I count myself still as a Calvin and Hobbes fan. It was never sullied with a garbage remake or stupid cartoons or anything like that.
That's
I'm sure they tried.
Except, even though he did not license out the Calvin and Hobbes, we still have the Calvin peen on various things on trucks.
I saw a rather unfortunate one of Calvin peeing on Afghanistan in the wake of 9/11.
That's going to show him.
Yeah, that really turned the tide of the war there, Michael.
And then on the other side, it was Calvin praying. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, I have seen those. Those are also unfortunate.
The biggest bootleg of all time, like relative to what?
Maybe the Simpsons t-shirts.
Yeah, those are pretty
seriously, because there's like a million of those. That might be the most bootlegged thing, but I see where you're coming from. It's very close. Next question.
I'm going to try to pronounce this right, because I didn't get it based off this word. Icosahedron is a polyhedron with 20 faces. In a typical 20-sided die, what is the shape of one of these faces?
Oh, Jesus, I should know. Pentagon.
Incorrect.
What is it?
It is a triangle.
That was my second guess.
And this is the one that I didn't get correct, but I think I can still try to get it to you here.
Mm-hmm.
Composing the majority of the atmosphere, this element also composes the majority of what constitutes a fart.
It's nitrogen, isn't it?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, well, so same amount, just different questions.
Yeah, I got thrown because I was thinking methane, and then he threw in the word element, and then I'm like, wait, what? And then I got totally off.
Well, the nitrogen is like 73% of the atmosphere, Michael. Come on.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, it makes sense that it composes most of fart as well.
Yeah.
But I wasn't fast enough to make that connection.
I suppose it depends on what your diet's been, because who knows, maybe it could be sulfurous. But that's disgusting, and we don't work blue on this show.
That's right. Very good, Jeremy. You did very well on those, and you answered them pretty quickly, too, so you probably would have been imbibing right alongside myself.
Yeah. Steve and I had done Geeks Who Drink once, and I got one of the questions. There was a lot of teams there when the one time we went there.
That can sully the experience.
Mm-hmm. We were really bad. We didn't know any of the pop culture ones.
I think the reason why we did well this time was this was a new venue we were playing at, and there was a lot of college kids.
Ah.
And that's kind of weird to think about.
It gets worse.
Because that doesn't seem like that long ago, but it was quite a long time ago.
12 years ago, Michael.
Yep.
Well, less for you.
A little less, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the categories had to do with current events taking place in 1985.
Okay.
So not current events, historical events in 1985.
I like those categories.
Yeah.
Because I'm good at those.
So I think we got a little boost from being able to answer a lot of those, because I don't think a lot of those people were born then.
So on a related note, I also, once again, I got season basketball tickets with Council of the Show, and they have to do something to keep the crowds entertained during the commercials and halftime and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the new segments that they brought in this year is a Name That Tune segment, where they get two people out of the sparsely populated student section, and then they play the songs over the loudspeaker, and then just someone raises, and this is, you know, on camera on the big
Jumbotron.
The first one that they did was just like, this is Katy Perry, this is Back in Black by AC/DC, you know, stuff that even like a 5-year-old would know.
Okay, yeah.
But then I suspect they have a smart aleck working these things, because they got a couple of, for the fun one, they got like a pair of 19-year-old girls, and they just like, they played like Let It Be or some Beatles song, and you know she didn't know it. Neither of them knew it. They played "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and neither of them knew it. It's delightful because the woman who is the, I guess, hostess,
mm-hmm.
correspondent, whatever you want to call her, gets clearly exasperated by the people that this happens to. I feel like she's at that point. I would guess she's probably about 28, 29. Where she's just starting to realize that the kids these days just don't recognize the normal stuff.
Right.
They also had a pair of young men.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Katy Perry or Taylor Swift, so just like super popular female pop-oriented stuff. And
oh, yeah.
I hope they continue with this because it's hilarious. It's like watching a pair of deer just stare at a camera while a woman gets more and more exasperated as the segment goes on.
On the Jumbotron.
Because they only have so much time in which to get this finished because the game's going to come back on soon enough, and it made me laugh.
She has somebody in her earpiece being like, all right, next.
Speed it up. Come on.
Hilarious.
It's fun. If they put, like, hits from the 70s on during us, well, no.
I think it's different because...
It's different because there's way more options
right
now.
And it's easier to get what you want now, too, because, you know, if we put on the radio back in the day, we would hear those songs whether we wanted to or not.
Exactly. It was classic rock or...
Yeah. But now you can subvert that completely by just listening to whatever you want to whenever.
Which is what I tend to do.
Which is fine.
I do enjoy a good classic rock on the road. It just feels right. What can I say? there's a station, I don't know where it's out of, but there's one in this neck of the woods that I don't think they're a clear channel station, so that they are able to set their own playlist.
Oh, they can actually mix it up a little bit?
They like drop some deep classic rock cuts, and they're like, wow, I didn't know that Rush released this song as a single.
Oh, okay.
By Tor and the Snow Dog, I'll be danged. Things like that. You're right, it's not like as if we were to be able to try to name things from the 70s because there was only what there was. We weren't able to pick out what we wanted unless you really put a whole lot of work into it.
Right.
Which is what I tried to do in high school, but I failed miserably.
Jeremy, are you ready for a bit of Bruise news?
Oh boy, we've our cup overfloweth.
Yeah, so we'll kind of do Bruise News Mini. What's the smaller bottle size called? A stubby or a...
Oh, yeah, I think so.
A stubby. This is Bruise News Stubby, because we've got little ones for you.
Stubbin' edition.
That sounds weird. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
More coalescence in craft beer. Mm-hmm. Artisanal Brewing, which was a combination of Southern Tier Brewing and Victory, has acquired... Six Point, which has been on the show a couple of times.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. And I believe all those breweries are out of New York State.
New York, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all merged together under one umbrella, much like...
AB InBev.
Well, that's going a little too far. I was going to say Canarchy, but even Canarchy's a little too far because I think that's outside investment, whereas I'm not sure if outside investment plays a factor with this one or not, but... just kind of a point of order. I thought it was interesting because we've had Six Point on the show a couple times. So
we had Resin, correct? Like
we
a
had
super,
resin?
Super
yes.
piney pale ale.
Mm-hmm. And then we had something that I want to say was tropical, but
was I here? Oh yeah, you're right. I know we could look this up, but it's more fun to just spin our wheels and argue.
I want to say it was a blue can.
Yep. Was it an IPA?
I don't think so.
Or was it a sour?
I want to say it was a sour.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
It was called Jammer.
Oh, that it was a Goza.
And it was a Goza, yes.
Okay. I remember this now.
Yes.
Gozas are... Ah, they're still weird.
Yeah. I think that was our conclusion with that one.
Salt beer. I like where they come from. I like the chutzpah or the chutzpah, whatever.
So as you know, this is we're doing dark beers for a dark mm-hmm. month, having stouts all month.
If only we could have timed this out to be like the 4 weeks before the solstice. And
right.
Save the blackest, most brutal beer for the last day.
We could still
day.
Do that, possibly.
It's not necessary.
Okay. Headline on this one is from BeerStreetJournal.com. A bourbon barrel-aged Guinness will release in the U.S. soon. And not much... Okay. There's a good reaction so far. But the barrels, and I don't know anything about this whiskey, maybe you can provide some insight. The barrels are going to come from Bullet Bourbon.
That's a good bourbon.
Which is also owned by Diageo.
Really?
Yeah. Is that a good one? Or?
That's a really good bourbon.
Oh, okay.
They make a good rye, too. It's one of those ones, it's not like a high-end, this is a special occasion sort of whiskey, but it's definitely not something that, you know, you or I or just a random liquor fan would have in the wicker basket in the trunk of one's car for tailgates.
Okay.
Better than Beam. I'd say it's better than Jameson. I feel like it goes for about $30-35 bucks a bottle.
Okay.
It's good stuff. It's a good one, like one bottle a year whiskey for me.
Also, what Sylvester Stallone drinks in the movie Bullet to the Head.
Oh, really? I've never seen that movie.
I guess so, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah.
If that was you making a joke, I like that. Good work, Michael. Because that's a that's a deep pull. That's awesome. I never saw that movie, although I feel like I should.
I think it's a pretty bad one. But yes, he actually does. It's that on the nose. That's what he drinks in the movie.
There's an I in the whiskey.
Yes. Bulleit. Bulleit.
Bulleit.
Not a lot of details about it outside that, so.
I've also been seeing a lot of commercials for Budweiser aged on Jim Beam staves.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's another one.
Not in a barrel. They're very careful to not say that.
Right.
But they put that Jim Beam logo right there on the head.
I wonder if we should have that at some point.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to be good, but I mean,
we
had a blue malt liquor for Pete's sake.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not like picky
above.
People. Yeah, no.
Staves.
Oh, God, no. Well, I didn't have it, but you guys had a beer aged on tequila staves.
Yes, that's correct.
Serves.
Another AB InBev product.
Exotic. What was it called? Exotico? Occulto, that's what it was.
And here's fresh off the presses from today, or maybe yesterday?
Yeah, I think it was. I was on the AP wire today, I think.
Anyway, but it's
it's sad panda.
It'll be a week old at this point, but Pabst says Miller Coors is trying to put it out of business.
Why?
And
Why?
Basically, there's a lawsuit between the two brewers. I guess for the longest time, Pabst has been brewed by Miller under contract, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Miller Coors is, every 5 years it comes up for renewal, and now Miller Coors is making the terms, we don't want to do this anymore, tripling the price per barrel.
Onerous, perhaps?
Yes. Pabst says they're not acting in good faith, and, it's, antitrust,
something like that.
Yeah. There's a succinct word to describe it, but I can't think
Bad.
Of it right now. It's bad. Yeah, that's it. It's bad. There's more details in the article about exact numbers and dollar signs, but we'll keep it a stubby and, just keep it at that. I for some reason, I always had a connection between Pabst and Miller Coors, but whenever I looked into it, I'm like, oh, Pabst is their own company, but now this
they just don't brew their own beer.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. For no other reason except for marketing and branding, I hope Pabst comes out on top. I don't know who's right.
It's my cheap beer. What can I say?
Yeah.
Michael, have you heard of Pabst Easy?
No.
I just saw on the shelves of my local Fairway last week? Earlier this week? I don't remember. It's their low-cal version.
No, Pabst. You don't need to do that.
Well, so.
Oh, you kind of do, but...
Because I looked at the box. The white on a normal Pabst can is a light sky blue. And the ribbon is, the red stripe that goes behind the blue ribbon is yellow. And it seems to be getting decent reviews on Beer Advocate. 3.32 out of 5 based on 5 ratings, which is higher than I would give it.
Yeah.
And
it's probably made to compete with Michelob Ultra.
100%.
Because that is one of the few macro brands that's seeing growth.
And I mean, for beer that's water, it's not that bad. It's not good.
It's like something to drink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's what it is. But, I get it. It's totally Miller Coors's thing to do or not do. But it's just why? You're... It's not like they're just brewing it for fun. I mean, I'm sure they're turning a profit on it. It's like, who cares? It's the brand itself is worth brewing it just because you can sell it to idiots like me when they go to shows wearing plaid shirts at the mill and go from there.
I guess it's just all about, you know, could be driven by AB InBev, you know, just ratcheting up the state of competition, especially in the macro sector.
True, but with this in the macro sector, it at least gives the illusion of competition, which I suspect is what people want.
That's true, too, yeah. Yeah, you drink Miller, I drink Pabst.
Exactly, precisely. My father's friends had a lot of that going on. Like, there was one guy who lived up the street who, he would not drink anything but Pabst Blue Ribbon, like, to the point where it was, like, would get contentious at fire department meetings or something like that.
There was only one Pabst left or something.
Well, no, he was the only one who would drink it because everyone else thought it tasted like crap. So they would, like, I mean, granted, this is comparing it to, like, Miller Lite or Budweiser or something, but...
Right.
It's like, come on, man. Settle down with that nonsense.
Yeah. Jeremy, should we get into the FDR?
The FDR, you mean wherein we find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer?
Yes. You know what? I know you just said what the FDR was, but I will allow you to reveal the beer as well, because you brought this one.
I did. Speaking of father-in-laws, this is, I'm told, one of his favorite beers, despite being a MICU man. We have, from Waterloo, Iowa, Tip the Cow Cocoa Espresso Milk Stout from Single Speed Brewing.
Kind of combining, we had a milk stout the first week of the month.
We did.
A coffee stout the second week of the month.
I see what you did there.
And now we're combining it with cocoa to get this one.
I see what you did. Where did you do that on purpose?
I might have retroactively applied that logic after I changed the beer.
I mean, it works. No one else needs to know that.
Yes.
Michael, have you had anything from Single Speed yet?
No. Well, there was that one time I went to the beer barn and had a bunch of Iowa beers that I can't remember.
I don't think they were distributing that time.
That'd be my guess too, but so probably not.
Okay. These guys are fairly new-ish, I want to say. I feel like they've only gotten down here recently.
Down the interstate.
Here's some flavor text about the brewery since we haven't had them on the show before.
Okay.
The concept for Single Speed Brewing was born during one of many Wednesday night group bike rides in which our founder, Dave Morgan, brought up the rear. Plenty of time to think back there, apparently. With each ride, the vision for Single Speed became more clear. Eventually, in Cedar Falls, Iowa, a modest 1,700 square foot facility powered by a three-barrel brew house emerged. Today, our three-barrel facility serves as our research and development center and is still firing out experimental ales. In November of 2016, we bought our 20-barrel brewery online, situated in the historically renovated Wonder Bread building in the neighboring community of Waterloo, Iowa. While our production capacity has changed, our goal of bringing intriguing quality ales into your glass has not. We hope you are enjoying the ride as much as we are. So yeah, that's Single Speed, I guess. They have five core beers. They have this. They have an IPA called Victory Dance, a cream ale called Tricycle, Kung Fuji Fighting, which I actually had when I went to the Iowa Tap Room before Gwar. It's a Belgian IPA, and that one was really good.
Oh.
And they got Hall of Fame Iowa wrestling coach Dan Gable to put his name on a Helles. He signs cans at Hy-Vee's all over the place. It's kind of depressing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then they have a... their seasonals go from, you know, farmhouses to Pilsners to Marzins to a cocoa mint milk stout.
Ooh, that is interesting.
I've had their Ring Around the Goza and Jeremy and the Giant Peach.
Oh, that's right.
I think that I told you that off air. It was okay.
Okay.
It was a kettle sour, which is not my favorite kind of sour. And then there's a whole pile of randos that they just do whenever they feel like it. I suspect these are the ones that come out of the brew house.
Okay. For this one, Cocoa Espresso Milk Stout, here's some flavor text that I'll read. Have you ever reveled in the essence of a chocolate-covered espresso bean?
Do you mean reveled?
What did I say?
Reveled.
Okay, take two. Have you ever reveled? I said it again.
Revel.
Reveled? Did I say it again?
You did say it again. Now, for the listener at home, In case Michael chops all that previous stuff out, he's been saying reveled with two V's, whereas it is rev-eld.
Okay, how about I say the first three words and you say that one because I can't, like, undo what I'm saying now.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever...
reveled.
...in the essence of a chocolate-covered espresso bean? How about in the form of a beer? This full-bodied, creamy milk stout has been touched by the gentle hand of sidecar coffee roasters, resulting in a rich but smooth option. That's weird. Boasting notes... Why is it an option?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's weird.
Boasting notes of roast and cocoa alongside velvety sweetness. Have you ever had sidecar coffee, Jeremy?
No, but there are a ton of roasters around here that I've not had.
Okay. I was just curious.
I have had this beer many times, and I do enjoy it quite a bit from prior imbibings. I don't know. But I've not been able to find sidecar coffee around here anywhere.
Now here's a smooth option. I do have beer stats.
Indeed you do.
Hops, Horizon, and Nugget.
Okay. Good stout ones.
Yep. Malts, pale, American chocolate, pale chocolate, C60, roasted barley, oats, white wheat.
Interesting.
That's a lot of different malts in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an American ale yeast. We get other ingredients listed as lactose, espresso, and Ecuadorian cocoa nibs.
Interesting.
IBU of 34 and ABV of 6.2.
Well, so let's crack into this. I have some of a question to ask you, or just to get your impressions on things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you grew up in Iowa.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that has ever tried to tip a cow?
No.
Okay. During my collegiate years, I lived with and next to a few city folk, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I grew up out in the middle of nowhere.
From the suburbs of Illinois. They were from?
One of them was. The other one is the immortal captain of the show.
Okay.
And they became convinced at one point that they could tip a cow.
You can't do it.
Thank you. The one from Des Moines claims that he was strong enough to... take down a cow. Well, the other one was like, "Well, I play defensive line and lineman in football," and they're like, "It's those things weigh like what 2,000 pounds?" And I'm like, "Well, I mean, at least it's like a car. It's like a small car. You just got to get the right leverage on it." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's all well and good, but a car is not going to stampede and trample you or mule kick you.
It's not sentient, or just for that matter, adjust its balance and like leggings so that it doesn't tip."
Precisely.
It'd be like a car with a gyro in it or something that's constantly adjusting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you like put like a brick of Valium in there or something like
right,
and
yeah.
like and like set up a bunch of like people on, well, no, that'd probably kill them if they were on their hands and knees behind the cow's legs. But like if you put like did it next to like a railing or something like that, then maybe. But even then, I suspect it would be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Balance is pretty hard to get through.
And a relatively low center of gravity, I mean, with four legs.
I was like, I have an uncle who still farms, despite being 75 years old. And I distinctly remember being terrified as a child whenever the cattle would start running real hard. Because they get moving fast. And, I mean, basic physics would suggest that, you know, stopping at least 2,000-pound animal is not going to be the quickest thing in the world.
No.
Now that we... Okay, thank you. Good. That was the proper answer. I just had to make
sure.
Okay,
just check it in.
It's bothered me for like 13 years now. At least. No, more than that. Anyway, we're getting old, Michael. Either way.
Yes.
Let's talk about this beer. It's pretty dark.
It is dark. Yeah, it's very dark, actually.
Mm-hmm. All those malts.
Like, light from the bottom of the glass is all I'm getting. Otherwise, pitch black against the monitor, but...
Yeah, just a little ring of amber around the very edge.
Yeah. Predominant smells for me is chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Cocoa.
Yeah, a little coffee, too.
Mm-hmm. And so that'd be the espresso. Mm-hmm. Are you getting any sweetness from the milk?
I was just going to say, it also is a little sweet smelling.
Oh, this is a good beer.
Oh, you went in good.
Oh, of course.
Okay, go on. I'll go in now.
It's a very well-balanced beer.
Mmm, that it is. That, ooh, I like it.
Right?
At first, it kind of just starts out like a nice, sweet stout.
A smooth option.
Mm-hmm. But then, the finish, as I speak, it just, it's like coffee.
Goes from that coffee, and then it just kind of just grades into a the chocolate for me.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's a mixture of both the roasts
and the
as
nibs.
Well as the nibs and the espresso. Just I don't know how it happens, but it happens, and I like it. The mouthfeel is spot on too.
Yeah, nice gradient of flavor. I like that so much. Sweet chocolate coffee.
Mm-hmm. And it writes a check that it can cash, which is unusual for a beer with, you know, multiple adjuncts in the title of the style.
It's always like, will it have all three? It kind of reminds me of when we had the raspberry latte stout.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, is this going to be too much raspberry or too sweet? No, that really delivered on what it set out to do. And I think this is of that ilk.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And also another Iowa beer, Michael. I'm just saying.
No.
Yeah, it's... What I like most about this beer is that it's got heft, but it's not overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, it's got an original gravity of 1.075, and for the layman, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Clocks in at 6.2, but, you know, there's a little bit of sweetness, so they dumped lactose into it, so which I don't think yeast can eat.
No.
I know that this is getting off track again, but I'd like to try the mint version of this, because I've never had a mint beer before.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I think if they can be subtle with it, I think they could pull it off with this beer.
They've already, you know, pulled this off.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They've shown they can execute well.
But what's even more impressive is that when I was out in the cold this weekend, second coldest game in Kinnick Stadium history, I forgot to take Bliss Dex and chapped the crap out of my lips.
Oh, so no.
I had the only lip balm that I have here in the house, after using up the last of the Bliss Dex the other day, is a fairly old tube of Sierra Nevada Brewing Company SPF 15 Hops and Mint Lip Balm. And I put that on before we started talking, and I was worried. But thankfully, it either wore out or the beer is potent enough in the flavor category that this poor choice of lip balm was not a deal breaker.
Not interfering?
No, not at all. Michael, if there's anything you would change about this beer, what would you change?
It is, as I have more of it,
mm-hmm.
This is really drilling down, because there's not that much bad to say, and this is maybe more of a complaint about the style, but it is a little sweet on the sweeter side.
It is.
But that's just the style, so I don't really fault the beer for it.
As well as the style at the time.
It's a milk stout, so it's going to be a little sweet.
It's true.
But the finish makes up for that, I think.
I agree, and I mean, as I believe we've said on here multiple times, I'm more of a fan of dry stouts or the big, hairy Imperials, things of that nature. But the adjuncts actually do a really good job of not masking, but kind of complementing that sweetness that normally would bug the bejesus out of me.
And I'd rather have it be sweet than ashy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a really bitter... on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, yeah, that's the only major thing that I... That might... And that's not necessarily a negative, but I think it would prevent me from having more than one in a sitting.
From personal experience, I can say that it is not an issue. This is a very quaffable, sessionable beer, especially given that it's a 6.2, which is not... like, undoable, but it can catch up with you a little bit faster than you would expect. Mm-hmm. I think it works out well because this is not something that I would want to slam, despite being able to.
I'd agree. You kind of want to, even though you can chug it, I think it's more worth enjoying, much like a cup of coffee, you know.
With cocoa in it.
If you want to jam the coffee down your throat to wake up, you can do that, but I prefer to sip it if I'm able to.
I agree. The drinkability of this, I think, might be its strongest suit, because you get everything you need out of a big, hairy stout, but it's not an effort to drink this like, you know, a Bourbon County or...
Right.
A certain Southern Californian company stouts that may or may not be coming up at some point.
Okay. Oh, man, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, me too. You can cut that out if you like.
Okay. It's a tease.
It's a tease. But it's very easy to drink, but you don't necessarily want to like scull it.
Right.
Which is a good thing. It's got the best of both worlds. It's having its cake and eating it too.
Mm-hmm. Should we rate it then, having said that?
Yeah, sure.
Do
you need more time, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should go first because, well, I've decided the rating, and I'm going to give it a 4.25.
That's the same thing I was going to give it, Michael. I believe I have given it that in the past. This is also one of the few beers that we've had recently, stouts excluded, that is getting noticeably better as it warms up, despite the sweetness.
Yeah.
So the sweetness is becoming more and more prevalent as we sit here and flap our gums, but it's I'm rather enjoying this. It's working out pretty well.
And not to be too analytical, but that is also where the raspberry latte stout clocked in.
Well done. We're nothing if not consistent around here.
Yes. Two good stouts from Iowa.
In general, would you say you're a fan of stouts?
No. And I think that's why this month is been interesting, and kind of why I wanted to do this, just to see if there's stuff out there that I appreciate, see what I like about stouts, what I don't like, because I think I just kind of applied, I don't really like those that much to all stouts, when really there's nuance within the category itself, so, yeah. Well, in any case...
Yeah, Michael, how about you hit me with the...
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter at APMPod, Facebook.com/APMPod, email us directly, APMPod@gmail.com. Check us out on Untappd, where host emeritus Tom Bombadil of the show, Mike, keeps up with all of our ratings there. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Rate, review, subscribe if you can. Get in touch and tell us what stout you like and what we should try to find.
About the chicory stout from Dogfish Head Craft Brewery, Michael.
Oh, chicory, you say?
I say chicory.
Well, maybe we'll have to have that.
Or how about Dark Horse Trey Blueberry Stout?
Where are you getting these?
I'm just going through the related beers on Beer Advocate.
Oh, okay. While you do that, I will say, for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.
Chicory.
I know, right?